Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can just come here and worship you. And Lord, we just pray you would just be our teacher this morning. Just a difficult subject. And so we're looking for insights from you. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak things of the Spirit. And I pray each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be looking at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And let me read verse 24, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint the most holy place. I just read this stuff like that, and I've said it last time, I think, oh, good grief. You know, it's just so overwhelming, just this one verse here. And we're looking into what the Bible has to say in Daniel about end times. And the thing about, when you think, why would we, you know, spend time about the end times? And one of the reasons is because God gives it to us. He gave it to us and he tells us, okay, this is what's going to happen. So he must be telling us for a reason. He must want us to know for a reason. And so as we look at this, we have that in the back of our mind. Okay, God is communicating, you know, his majesty, and God is communicating that he's got control of everything. That's the big picture. He said, hey, I got this thing in control. You ever think, hey, the world's just running out of control? It's not, okay? Somebody's got the reins, is going to set things straight. And so there's the majesty of God here. But when you look at this whole subject of the end times, there's a lot of variety of opinions and things like that. It's a little overwhelming. And so being of sound mind, I've chosen never to speak on it. Okay. But not being so sound mind, I decided to preach through the book, through the Old Testament. And guess what? Daniel's in the Old Testament, and I couldn't think of a good reason to skip it, okay? So I'm in Daniel, and so you unfold. And it's really been a blessing for me because I've learned a lot of things. As I've gone through this and studied it and looked at it, and I've read and studied things before, but there's a little bit of an additional responsibility, like I'm going to share it with you. And so it's there's a little bit of like, okay, God, what are you telling me? What do I feel comfortable say? Hey, this is what I see you saying. So that's where we are, and that's how we came about it. Now, one of the things I've learned, now, if you want to have a view of end times, you want to understand end times, here's something that I've learned. It should be very important to you. I pass it on. Start in Daniel. That's where you start. And that became apparently clear to me. Don't start in Revelations, okay? Do not start there because you're going to get wrapped around the axle and it's going to be really confusing. You start in Daniel, and as you move through Daniel, all of a sudden you see a systematic unfolding of God presenting the revelations, and you get there and say, oh, I can see how this unfolds. And so, as I said, what way I was going to start this out is I'm just going to stay in Daniel. I'm just staying there. I'm not going anyplace else. Well, that was smart because that's where Daniel came. But then you see the outflowing into other places, and it's easier. It's still difficult, but again, it's easier. So here we are, Daniel chapter 9, talking about the end times. Well, in Daniel chapter 9, we have, it's focusing on 70 weeks, all right? Now that's going to be central in what we're looking here. Now we're going to look back in Daniel chapter 2, we had a revelation. Daniel chapter 7, we had a greater revelation. Now we have Daniel chapter 9, another revelation, all on end times. But God is, and you got to think the Lord's doing this, he's presenting these pieces to Daniel, and everything's future to Daniel. None of this stuff has happened. So Daniel is giving these prophecies, and he's going, God. And I mean, if I can paraphrase from Daniel, he's going, God, what is this? I don't understand this. And then the Lord tells him, this is what the Lord's telling Daniel, his future. So now we're taking up from Daniel's prophetic statements, and we're looking at what God's telling us. Now here we have Daniel chapter 9. By the way, I have two sets of notes. I did one set of notes, and I looked at it, and I said, there ain't no way I'm going to get through this. I can't do this in a message. So I took that set of notes and condensed it to this set of notes. So if you want the other set of notes, I'll email them to you, okay? And you'll be glad I emailed them to you and didn't talk about them this morning. So this is the message was condensed, and now this one is more condensed, okay? So anyway, it's a shot at it. But what you have here is in Daniel chapter 9, and it's a time frame. Now, it specifically talks about time. Everybody says, when? Well, this is what Daniel does. It talks about times, and it's talking about these 70 weeks. And look at what it says, because it's important. It unfolds. We're going to try to understand what God's telling us about the end times. It says 70 weeks. He's talking to Daniel. Daniel's in captivity. His homeland's been destroyed. Israel's been destroyed. He's in Babylon. And he says, Daniel, in 70 weeks are decreed about your people. The Jews. It's about your people. He says, you know, my people ain't doing well. He goes, we're not doing well at all. But God says, no, these 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city. He says, wait, God, our holy city is leveled. I mean, Babylon did, they leveled it. So here's God. No, this 70 weeks is about your people and your holy city. And it says this, it's been leveled, devastated, and it's about your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin. Now, how are you going to do that? Daniel, this is to put an end to sin. Daniel's going, okay, good luck with that one. You know, put an end to sin, to atone, cover over iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal the vision and the prophet, and to anoint the most holy place. He's got to be thinking, well, how are you going to put an end to sin? How are you going to atone for iniquity? How are you going to bring everlasting righteousness? We can be righteous forever. How are you going to do this? He said, it's all in the 70 weeks, Daniel. It's in these 70 weeks. Now, okay, to get there, we're going to go how God unfolds it. All right? So this is so you can ask, you know, somebody can say, hey, what's the end times? You just, okay, here it is. Oh, that's it. And you can go spout it off. And they go, why do you believe this? You go, Wallace told me. People aren't going to be impressed with that. It is not. So you want to be able to go through the scripture and have an understanding. This is how the Bible says it, or in the broad picture. You don't have to understand the details. So what you have to look at, that's what we're going to leave. Well, that's how we're going to have you present it this morning. This is how we've done it, but this is how we're going to present it this morning so that you kind of have a working knowledge of it. All right? So we must look at the end time prophecies. We can't start here in Daniel 9. To look at the end time prophecies, we're building a block by block foundation, all right? So that we have a basis for understanding, a block by block understanding so we have a basis. So where do we go? We have to go back to Daniel chapter 2. It all hinges on Daniel chapter 2. The end times prophecies hinge on Daniel chapter 2 and the conclusions you make about this. And what he presented in Daniel chapter 2, recap, is the statue. The statue. All right, this is a dream Nebuchadnezzar had, and Daniel interpreted this statue. And we're not going to go over the whole thing again because we want to center in on the point. And there's not much disagreement about what this statue represented. Not much. Except one point. Y'all tell me what it is. Feet. 10 toes. That's important. The feet. It's the 10 toes. That's the question. The rest of the statue, most scholars, that's what it is. Even Jesus coming back as this uncut stone, coming back, destroying this statue, they say, that's Jesus. You know, the kingdom that comes out of that, they go, that's the kingdom of God where Jesus rules. Nobody's disagreeing with that. Maybe on the timing a little bit, but they don't agree about what it is. Now, I mean, that's hard. You get a bunch of, you know, theologians together and they agree on that. That's huge, all right? But they don't agree on the 10 toes. That's the question. So we call Daniel, however, you know, the name I gave Daniel to help us understand it, that we would remember, I called Daniel the statue. That's the prophecy of dirt. Remember that? Prophecy of dirt. Why? Because he's talking about dirt. This kingdom owns this dirt, and then this other kingdom's going to have this dirt, and this kingdom's going to have this dirt, and the 10 toes are going to have this dirt that Jesus is going to destroy it, and he's going to establish his dirt. Okay? Meaning he's going to establish the dirt he rules on. So it's a prophecy of dirt. Now you'll remember that, won't you? Okay? That's so you that helps you understand what he's showing you. Oh, this is where these kingdoms are going to be on this earthly dirt. Talking about. All right. Daniel chapter 2. So we're starting there, but we're focusing on what? The 10 toes. And we're focusing on Jesus coming back and establishing his kingdom. So that's the piece. That's the piece. Now the next one, and we found this out. We found this out in Daniel chapter 7. We had another picture. Oh, this is a cutie up here. Don't we love this guy? Okay. So here you go. We have the beast coming. All right. Now, again, we had other beasts coming in Daniel chapter 7. Theologians, they don't disagree about who these beasts represent. They're pretty, they're on the same sheet of paper. They're not having a problem with it. And even this guy, we don't know what this guy looks like, but Tim Pennington gave me this, and I thought, well, this will do, you know. I mean, because it doesn't tell us exactly what this beast looked like, okay, except he's really vicious. And it's, and the Daniel takes note, and again, all the beast, everybody's in agreement, that's important. Except one thing. What is it? You remember what people disagree about on the beast? See, that's like a quiz. You know, say, gosh, Sunday, I didn't know I have to remember what you said. What's the disagreement? The horns. He had 10 horns, but it wasn't, and I think this picture, although I love how this guy looks, I mean, the kids would love to play with that, wouldn't you? Like that. But I think even the horns here don't do it justice, because when Daniel looked at the beast, you know what the first thing Daniel said? He goes, what are those horns? Now, when you look at this guy, that's not the first thing you see. What are the horns? I mean, you see the horns, but the beast is what's scary. But what Daniel says, what about these horns? So these, some people picture like they've been great big antlers or something. They were dominating, but we don't know because it doesn't say. But Daniel says, what about these horns? I don't understand the horns. Yes, and the disagreement is the horns. So our theologians and people, they're not sure about the horns. People have assumptions, but they're not sure what these horns are. But the horns come out of this beast, the fourth beast. And that fourth beast is the Roman Empire. And that's huge to know. It's the Roman Empire, which is very similar to the legs in the statue, which is the Roman Empire. Everybody agrees that? The 10 toes come out of the legs, which is iron and clay. It's a flow out. As these horns flow out of this beast, these 10 horns. But the 10 horns and the 10 toes are the same. Whatever assessment you make, the 10 horns and the 10 toes are the same. So what we are not sure about, what people are not sure about, are the same thing. So it's not, oh, I don't know what the horns are and I don't know what the 10 toes. No, it's one thing, the 10 horns and the 10 toes. So that's where we are right now. That's the question. Now, also we know another little fact from chapter 7 is there was a little horn come up, a little horn. In the 10 horns, there was a little horn. And we all discovered, he's nasty. He really nasty guy, okay? He had, you know, bad childhood or something. You know, I don't know. His mother didn't train him proper or something. This guy really is nasty, all right? So the little horn comes out of the 10 horns, okay? And it says in the Bible, very clear, all scholars agree with this, it's a man. It's a ruler. It's an end time ruler, bad dude. They agree. That's what it is. So, okay, so we're a lot of consistency. There's a lot of things that people agree on, but there's some points they disagree on. So now let's look at all these things together, bringing us up now to the 70 weeks. Okay, all this is connected. They're not independent. So we're coming up to 70 weeks right here. The foundation for the end times interpretation. I guess the next slide would on that. I think I have a slide on it. There we go. So here we are. We're coming up today. The foundation for end times interpretation. Number one, prophecy of dirt, the statue, Daniel chapter 2. Prophecy of attributes, the beast, Daniel chapter 7. It's telling how bad all these people are. And this morning, prophecy of time, 70 weeks of years. This is weeks of years. It's 70 weeks of years, Daniel chapter 9. So here he see unfolded on this. So let's look at this. We're in the time frame now of these 70 weeks of years. Now what the Bible tells us, I'm going to summarize it, some other notes, you can have those, In other notes, the Bible says that these 70 weeks, God interprets that to Daniel and tells Daniel, these are 70 weeks of years. So that's, oh, okay, not just 70 weeks, it's 70 weeks of years, meaning it's 490 years. So he's telling Daniel this time frame is 490 years. Now, what we have, and I'll just process through this because you have the foundation, it's a clear, literal 70 years. And we see this coming from Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, because he talks about the 70 years that Israel was taken captive, and he says, in 70 years, we're going to send you back. And that's what Daniel is talking about. And so he's talking to God about that, and God says, okay, that's true, but now I'll tell you about 70 weeks of years that's in the future. Now, here's a little important prophetic point. By showing him the immediate 70 years, what God does, in a way, and he does this all through Scripture, he confirms what he's going to say. You wouldn't think God would have to do that, okay? But he does it to show us, listen, this is going to happen. You go, oh, okay, that happened, wow. And he says, therefore, then I'm saying this also is going to happen. You go, oh, really? Okay, because this happened, then I'm going to believe this happened. See, he does that all through Scripture. And so we see that, and that's how these people held these guys up as prophets, because they'd give them short-term prophecies that came about, and then they'd give them a long-term prophecy. He'd say, hey, listen, this guy's 100% on here, and I'm betting the bank that he's going to bring this one all the way through at the end. So you have this confirmation. That's how the things in the Old Testament, the Scriptures, was confirmed. So here we got the 70 weeks of years, which is 490 years. And these 490 years, here's the reason for them. He's telling Daniel, here's this 490 years, is to for the fulfillment of the purposes of God to establish his kingdom. That's what he's telling Daniel. Okay, you can encourage all of you, read Daniel chapter 9. But that's what he's doing. It's going to take Daniel, I'm telling you, it's going to be 490 years of this year of years for your people to establish my kingdom the way I want it. Okay. So that's how he starts talking about this. Now, here's another piece. The 490 years are tied very closely to Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jews. Okay, it's not just anybody's 490 years. It's Israel's 490 years, Jews' 490 years, Jerusalem's 490 years. So he's focusing on those folks. Now here's a piece of this. When he talked about the statue, he's talking about Gentile, non-Jewish people. When he's talking about the beast, he's talking Gentile, non-Jewish people. When he talks about the years, he's talking about the Jews. So now he's interjected the Jews in here. Now we know that God said Jesus is going to come destroy the Antichrist. Jesus is going to come and establish his kingdom. So we know those pieces. But he says, this is how I'm going to deal with the Gentile nations. These guys aren't getting away with nothing. All right. But in this piece, God has a called out people. A called out people. That's what the Jews were. In fact, he was called the Jews, my called out people in the Old Testament. When he called Abraham, the world's a mess. So God calls out Abraham. He says, from you will be my people. He says, you'll build a nation. From you, you are my people. I'm calling out. Out of this mess, I'm calling out me, a people that trusts me. Okay? And it was actually fulfilled. We're going to talk about this next week. It is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus, because everybody that believes on Jesus is the called out people. There's a fulfillment there. Okay, we're in the years. Okay, so back to Daniel. Back to Daniel. None of this has happened. None of this has happened. You know, you're thinking, gosh, I don't know how you put this together. You're looking back. Just think how Daniel felt. Daniel's going, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. In fact, there's one place that he just went around and had just, it sounded like he was depressed, downcast, and just didn't, he was just totally perplexed by everything. Now, so here we have the 490 years. And again, they have to do with the Jewish people, Israel, Jerusalem. Okay? Now, the first clear event that happens. Here's the first clear event. By the way, so far, most of your biblical scholars are going, yep, yep, you know, okay? So there's not a big difference of opinion here. The first significant event in this 490 years is after the 69th week. Okay, it says after the 69th week. Actually, it makes it more confusing. It says after the 7th week plus the 62nd week equals 69. And after, I don't know why it does that. I mean, just so that you really want to read this, then you better pay attention. Anyway, so after the 69th week, after the 69th week is the first major event. After 483 years from Daniel, is the first major event. Are y'all ready for this? What is it? The Messiah comes. The Messiah comes. Calls him the Anointed One. By the way, Messiah means Anointed One. So God's telling Daniel, listen, in 483 years of this 490, in 483, the Messiah is coming. I mean, what if somebody came and told you, okay, hey, I'll tell you, say, in 483 years, the Messiah's coming. You go, whoopee. I mean, you know, I think I'm going to be long gone, you know. I mean, 483 years, Lord, I mean, like next week would be good. You know, we could have a little, but 400, but anyway, Daniel's going, okay, got you. He told Daniel, 483 years, the Messiah is coming. Now, and that's in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Check that. Write that down. Daniel 9, 25. Jesus says, and we'll bring it contemporary, Jesus is coming in 483 years. Now, hallelujah. Daniel knows. By the way, that's why it makes it so significant when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the Old Testament. The Old Testament speaks of Jesus. Speaks of Jesus. And right here, it's very specifically saying the Messiah's coming. And he's telling him when. Now, that's Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Now let's go and look at this. Daniel, and we have a verse here. I edited God's word. Okay, so you look at that. In parentheses, that's me. So you can ignore that. All right, but I put it there. That's my edits of God's word. Here's this verse in Daniel 9:26. And I put 9:26a because Daniel 9:26 is a long verse. And it says this, and after 62 weeks, well, you see the asterisk meaning 7 weeks in verse 25 plus 62 weeks in verse 26 equals 69 weeks. Lord Jesus, it's a wonder anybody ever understands any of this, all right? But anyway, it says this. And after the 62 weeks, or after the 69 weeks, are the 483 years, after 483 years, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, those are my words, God calls the Anointed Ones, and now we look back and we know it's Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Messiah means Anointed One. Christ means Anointed One. That's what that means. It says, after 483 years, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, shall be cut off. I mean, he says in chapter 9, verse 20, he's coming. Hallelujah. In chapter 26, he says he's going to be cut off. You know, this prophecy stinks, God. And not only is it going to happen for 483 years, and then you tell me he's coming, hooray, and then you say he's cut off. What does it mean he's cut off? He was crucified. We know he was crucified. It just tells Daniel he was cut off. So we have Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, coming after 483 years. Then he's cut off, and he shall have nothing. He's just cut off. He's dead, and he has nothing. Now, we know the end of the story. Okay, Daniel didn't. So the Anointed One is cut off and has nothing. 483 years after what Daniel said. Now, here's some information. Information that is stunning. It's and you go ahead and you put up the next slide, I think. Well, no, I didn't know I had that one up there. Okay, read this with me. This is fascinating. In 457 B.C. Now, we're going back to the time of Daniel. This is back to the time of Daniel. This God speaking to Daniel. And he's saying, at this certain point, I'm going to send the people back. And at this point, after the point I send them back, 483 years later, Jesus coming. Now, in 457 BC, the date of Ezra's return to Jerusalem, it's in Ezra chapter 7, verses 12 through 26. You want to read it. We compute 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, or 69 weeks, or 483 years to come, and it comes out at 27 AD. That's what comes out. When you look at when Ezra went back to Jerusalem, and I have more notes on that in my other sermon, that comes out to AD 27. In Luke chapter 3, verse 1, it says Jesus' ministry began during the reign of Tiberius Caesar. And we know for a fact that his reign began in AD 27. Do I hear an amen? Do I hear an amen? Lord, that's not bad. What if I told you, say, listen, this is what's going to happen 483 years. First of all, you wouldn't know. But what if I hit it? What if I hit it on the nose? This is incredible. This is incredible that from this point when Ezra went back, and Ezra had a, here's more information than you ever wanted. Zerubbabel goes back first before Ezra, and he's trying to build a temple, and several years before Ezra. But the thing is not to build a temple, it's to build the city. Ezra goes back second to build the city and the temple. So it's Ezra's time frame, not Zerubbabel. And Nehemiah goes back afterwards just to build the walls. So it's not his time frame. It's Ezra's time frame. And so we have history on our side, but you look at this and you take that date that's in the scripture at 483 years and you nail it. You nail it. It's math. It's just math. And he says, the anointed one comes. How many of you just like praise Jesus right now? Like, oh Lord. Oh Jesus. Oh Lordy be. And what we also know, he was cut off. He was cut off after a 3-year ministry. But he also, there was a resurrection. There was a resurrection. I was reading one guy, a different guy, had a different opinion, and he used lunar years for some reason. And he says, if you use lunar years, and you come out to 33 AD, and that's closer to, listen, I'm telling you what, if you get within a year after 483 years, I'm saying it's good. Oh my gosh, we're all in the ballpark. But I do believe it's specific that God's saying, no, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to hide something from you. The Messiah is coming. Somebody said, well, how do we know Jesus was the Messiah? Well, his work, but no, all through the Old Testament, it talks about the Messiah. All through. And it here he's telling you, this is when he comes. Listen, we are the beneficiaries of the Messiah. How many here think you're here by accident? God didn't know what he was doing when he put me here. God didn't know what he was doing when he gave me my neighbor. God didn't know what he was. No, I think maybe he did. Because he knew what he was doing 483 years before Jesus came. And then he said, oh, by the way, after he comes and his ministry starts in 27 AD, he's going to be crucified in 30 AD. Nailed it again. Nailed it again. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. That's powerful. Now, so we have this. The point, everything to this point, and the picture is very clear and very literal. Very clear and very, very literal. Therefore, we apply the same principle to the things unknown. Okay, if this is very clear, if this is very literal, then what he says in the future is going to be very clear and very literal. Unless God tells us otherwise. Unless he tells us otherwise, okay? Now, and unless he tells us otherwise is very important because there's places he does tell us otherwise. Like we have a great sacrificial system, Jesus, wonderful sacrificial system. And this is showing the presence of God in this great sacrificial system, And he says it's going to be done for eternity. Very physical, very literal. And then Jesus comes along and very specifically says, I am the sacrifice. We're done. and I'm here for eternity, spiritually. Done. Don't kill another animal. See, but he tells us, we're told that. You see what I'm saying? We don't make it up. I'm just tired of killing all these stinking sheep. We'll just forget it, and we'll just have kind of a spiritual reality of this whole thing. I know what you mean, but this is a mess. No. Jesus said, uh-uh, I am the Lamb of God. I am the sacrifice. Oh, okay, we can quit now, and we'll just worship Jesus, because that's what Jesus said. The lambs were a picture to Jesus, but we have a very specific communication that the physical ended and the spiritual started. He told us. We didn't have to guess. Okay, so what we do, we stay literal until we're specifically told to go spiritual. Amen? Does that make sense? See, and that now that's good biblical interpretation. That's good biblical interpretation. You stay literal until God tells you to go spiritual. And he does. I mean, all through. Well, I'm getting into next week's message, and you don't want me to do that. Okay. We've got enough here. So anyway, just understanding that. So we're very literal here. Now, so before, we've got 483 years. Hallelujah, and Jesus is here. Now, we have a week left. 7 weeks left that has been separated. Okay, that has been separated from the, in the 490. He goes 483, now he separates seven out here. Now, before we look at this, seventh week or 7 years, we need to look at a valley in between those sets of years. Between the 483 years and the 7 years, I think there's a valley, all right? Now, or you can put it like this. There's a mountain peak, and again, this is prophetic. You see in the prophecy, in biblical prophecy all the time, you have a mountain peak of the 69th year, of 69th week, okay? There's a mountain peak of the 69th week. And then you have another mountain peak of the 70th week. And in between the 69th and the 70th, there is a valley. There is a valley that separates them. So when you're looking at it, you go 69, 70. But when you look closely, there's a valley in between the 69th and the 70th week. And I think in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, it tells us about the valley. Okay? This is the valley. This is what the valley looks like between the 69th and 70th year. Number one. Jesus' crucifixion. We got the 483 ends. The seventh hadn't started. This last 7 years hadn't started. What's in this valley? Number one, Jesus' crucifixion. It says, it says the anointed one was cut off. That's what it says when you read it. In the second part of verse 26, it says this. You have the destruction of Jerusalem. It says the holy city is destroyed after the anointed one is cut off. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, leveled. Daniel 26c, and to the end there shall be war. Now listen, this is after the 69th week. To the end there shall be war, okay? So we have Jesus' crucifixion, destruction of Jerusalem, and to the end there shall be war. And here's number four here. This is the time of the Holy Spirit. This is the time of the Holy Spirit. There is definitely, in my opinion, a gap between 69 and 70. And next week, we're going to look at what the Bible says about this valley between the mountaintops of 69, the 69th and 70th week. This is the time of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at that. And this involves us. This involves us. Now, I want to state here, I believe that this period, and I'm calling you, you're vocabulary, you know, you run out of words to kind of describe it in a short period of time, but as I call this valley, what this valley is, and we'll see next week, is the absolute fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. The valley is the fulfillment, not the 7 years. Okay, and I'll explain that a little later. The valley is the fulfillment of everything God intended. And this is the time of the Holy Spirit. This is where he's having, creating his people of God. This is the manifestation of all the fullness of God during this time of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we'll look at next week, okay? It's huge. It's huge. It's where we are now. And God gives us real clear understanding about what we're, how we're to operate in that period of time. But what about this seventh week? What about this? It just hung out here. The seventh week. So what does it tell us about the seventh week? All right. Hold on till next week. But look at this seventh week. Daniel 9:27. And this is all God gives us. Daniel 9:27. Hey, it says this. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. He will make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. 7 years. Somebody shows up and they're going to make a strong covenant for 1 week. That's all. Okay? Now, here is, again, I don't know what else to do with this. The he, when you look at the Hebrew, what's written here, although the 69th and 70th week are separated by years, grammatically, the last eligible antecedent in the Hebrew text is the term where it says the people of a ruler destroy the city. So the he is attached to the people of the ruler who destroys Jerusalem in 7 AD. We know who that was. It was Titus. He was a Roman ruler. He became a Roman emperor. He leveled the place. Titus did it. So this he is referring to back to the ruler of the people, which is the Roman Empire. So that means that the ruler of a Roman Empire is the he that makes a covenant with this country for a week. So it ties in. What does this tie into? 10 toes, 10 horns. So the he. Now, this is when you look at Scripture. One thing about Daniel is fascinating is how detailed it is. So you just can't blow off this he. Oh, he, and we'll just skip that. No, the he. This is a big he. You know, they should have put he in, you know, parentheses or, you know, in quotes, and then exclamations before and exclamations after, you know, because it's the he is a big he. This guy, whoever he is, causes something to happen, okay? So, and it says right here, he makes a covenant. He makes a covenant with the people, with many, for 1 week. What's a week? What's a week? 7 years. Here's how we finish the 490. Here's how we finish the 490. Now, if we finish the 490, who is the 490 to? Who are we talking about? Are we talking about Gentiles? Are we talking about, who's the 490? This is the first part of the message. Somebody, Jews. We're talking about the Jews. The week has to do with the Jews. Now, God hadn't told us anything different about it, you know. Now, here, and so here we have is the questions, and godly, powerful, brilliant men disagree on this or have discussions about this. The 10 toes, the 10 horns, and the 7 years. There's a disagreement. Right there. And I mean, wonderful things written. You look at these things and fascinating insights, fascinating input. But that's where the disagreement. Well, they disagree. No, they agree about almost everything. They don't understand the 10 toes. They're having a discussion in different points of view about the 10 toes, the 10 horns, and the 7 years. That's where the discussion is. So when we're looking at it, and so why am I telling you that? Because I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and then you have to discern, okay, what do you think God is communicating here? What do you think? We know 483 years, Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Man, he nailed that one. You know what? He nailed the 7 years too. We just can't figure it out. We can't. I mean, if you get to Jesus come to, hey, Wallace, this is what I meant. Oh, man, you're the man. All right, you did. You got that one too. You know. So now I already know he got it. I just don't know what he put, 100% what he has to say. But anyway, so here we got the 7 years. So when I'm talking from this point on, when I'm talking about the 7 years, I'm talking about 10 toes, 10 horns, and the last 7 years in which the Antichrist rules. The Antichrist rules. So that's where we're going from here. And so, and this is also the last 7 years, there's another big event happens. Remember the statue? Jesus destroys the 10 toes, the 10 horns, and the Antichrist. Jesus is the one that intervenes now. See, this is bad times. Everybody says, well, at least you couldn't get worse. Yeah, it can. And yeah, it will. And the only way to get this guy out of office is for Jesus to destroy him. This is a bad 7 years. And so, what we have is this, what do we know about this ruler, the he, that makes a covenant for 1 week? What do we know about this ruler already? We go to last week's message, and this is what we, in chapter 7, verse 20 through 21, we said this. We called him the little horn. Little horn, all right? And this is what, and these are his characteristics. Dominating, evil, brutal, terrifying. God hater, Christian hater. Proclaims himself to be God, and the Lord Jesus will kill him. This is the he that makes a covenant for 1 week, for 7 weeks. It's the flow. This is how it's tied together. Now, here's what else we know. Daniel 9, 27. He makes a covenant for 1 week. Now, we know this guy's nasty, right? This guy's nasty. So if you make a covenant for 1 week, you're going to keep it? You're going to keep the covenant? No, he's just working the system. He's not going to keep nothing, right? And this is what was having Daniel, right here it says, Daniel 9, 27b. And for half of the week, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offerings. He breaks it. And half of the year, 3.5 years, he says, in half of the week, he shall put an end to sacrifice offering. Now, that's Old Testament language. And again, part of this, you look back to Daniel. Daniel has no other way but to communicate and talk in Old Testament language. All right? So I'm not 100% if there is a sacrificial set up, which would be non-Christian, by the way, because we're certainly not going to do it. We know the fulfillment's in Christ. If it's set up and whatever's going on there, in half a week, he's going to stop it. He's going to end their little party. Okay? Hey, you can do it for 3.5 years. Half the year, I'm done with you and your silly games. He's going to break it. All right. So whatever the point of the covenant, but the point we want to look at is he's going to break it in half a year. Look what it says in Daniel 7:25. This is what we learned last week. Here's this guy again. He shall speak words against the Most High. He will wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand. For a time, and half a time, 3.5 years. He breaks the covenant. Half, 3.5 years. You're given over, 3.5 years. He will wear them out, all right? He wins. Revelations, now we'll jump. I promise not to do this, but I'll do it. You know, I just get Revelations 13:5. And the beast was given a mouth to utter haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, so here's the picture. Here's the picture of the whole thing. We have the statue, okay? We have Jesus coming back, destroying the 10 toes, okay, and establishing his kingdom. All right, we know that. We have Daniel chapter 7. We have the 10 horns. But in these 10 horns, we see a little horn that exercises authority over all the horns. In fact, when you look at Daniel chapter 7, it really, this little horn becomes the prominent character. This guy's a bad dude. They start talking about, and he starts running the show, and it says he will dominate believers. He will dominate God's people. And it says he will prevail over God's people. That doesn't sound good, does it? Then we come over, and we have additional revelation, and we have a time frame now. We didn't have a time frame before. I mean, we have the countries, but now we have a time frame. We have 490 years. And in 483 years, we got Jesus comes, hallelujah, and then they kill Jesus. All right? But that's clear. But then there's a gap that stuff happens. And then I'm going to destroy the city, and then afterwards there's going to be war. See, he breaks the 69 off, and he says, after that 69th week, this happens. Jesus is crucified. this happens, Jerusalem is destroyed, and this happened, then there's going to be war. If it was a consistent 69 to 70, he wouldn't have put 926 in there. 926 breaks the week, and he says it's going to be a continual war, time of war. So there's the gap. And so we got hanging out there the seventh week. Then we have hanging out there the 10 horns. Then we got hanging out there the 10 toes. Then we got hanging out there the little horn. It's to come. But what's also to come, we got hanging out there, is like, and if we tie it specifically, literally to what the Bible says, we got to have some Jews, and we got to have a nation of Israel, and we got to have a city of Jerusalem to kind of to put the exclamation point. I mean, if you literally look at it, that's what it says. So I don't know where you, I mean, how in the world are you ever going to get Israel back and get all those Jews? They've been scattered all. How will you ever get them back? I mean, how are you going to get back to Israel? I'm glad they're not there now. You know, I was being facetious. So now here's the point. That I don't know that. To me, that's all conjecture. I don't know what the Lord's doing in that seventh week, but something physically, literally is going to happen. It's going to be a literal coalition of nations. It's going to be a literal antichrist. It's going to be a literal domination, a murderous domination of God's people. See, that's going to happen in this seven-year time frame. Now, when I look at it that, it looks like it's going to happen in the second 3.5 years. It seems to me like the first 3.5 years, he's going to come in the charger and the white horse and solve everybody's problems. You know, everybody's going to be loving him the first 3.5 years. It's the last 3.5 years, all hell breaks loose, okay? And so you're going to see that period. And I see that in the future. Now, but here's the thing, and we're going to get into this next week, and this is really important. God, his called out people, are the people before the seventh week. God's people, the people that represent him, the people, his apple of his eye, are the people before the seventh week. Okay, and this will irritate some people, and some people agree, but you know, people say, well, Jesus, the Jews are God's called out people. No, they are not. We are God's called out people. It's us. It's us. It's fulfilled in us. We are God's called out people. And if sometimes in the seventh year they do whatever, okay, it's like lost people doing it. Okay, it's like a time clock that's ticking, but you don't worship the time clock. You know, it's like you don't get, it's not connected. We are the fulfillment of God's purposes. We are, and here's a Bible verse, we are the Israel of God. We are, okay? But it doesn't discount the fact that something can happen in this literal 7 years. Something future is going, and it's going to unfold. It's going to unfold. The thing of it here, and I want to close on this and what I think God is showing us here. There's a lot of disagreement, okay, and good. I mean, there's good scholarly disagreement. And that's the reason I kind of went in detail, just show you where I'm coming from and how I come up to where we are and what I see right now. So if I could summarize it, we're the fulfillment of everything God wants. And that's what we're going to see next week. This is the time of the Holy Spirit. He's bringing in people to his kingdom. We are the apple of God's eye. It's us. It's not somebody in the future. It is us. But that doesn't discount and say that there won't be a 7 years with these people here and another time when an antichrist does horrendous things, which I believe is going to happen. And we're going to see it unfold. We're going to be able to see it coming. We're going to see it coming. Don't know that we're going to experience it, but we're going to see it coming. We're going to see it coming. And I defer to any power say, you know, I just kind of, what about this? What about, I believe this. That's fine. I mean, because you know what I know about this? it's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. And we're going to go, oh, how about that? It's going to happen. Don't doubt it's going to happen. So I know it's going to happen. I'm not saying I'm right, but I know it's going to happen. Whatever the view, it's going to come out in the pudding. You know, the cake's going to go in the oven. You're going to find out who the good cook is. I mean, it's going to happen. All right. We don't even have to pray it in. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. Now, with that, what I want to do, so we're bringing us up to this point, and we've been going through, we had these six principles. You remember we did it after Daniel chapter 2, then it after Daniel chapter 7. Now I'm going to do it after Daniel chapter 9. I keep building on these six principles, and therefore we have a basis of understanding and interpreting Scripture. Or at least you build the basis, you can say you understand, okay, this is where I disagree with, or you have a different view. But you understand how it's unfolding. So I want to go through those six principles again, all right? So this is the building block that we've been doing. This is the third iteration of this, all right? So we'll throw these up, and these principles now include the statue, they include the attributes of the beast, and now they include the time frame, all right? And I put the time frame in dark, okay, based on this, my explanation here. Okay, number one, first mention principle. Go to where the subject is first mentioned and build from that foundation. Therefore, the statue in Daniel 2 is foundation to the understanding of end times prophecy. That's just good understanding. We have nothing to add to that, all right? Number two, that's first mention principle. Any scriptural study, you should do that. Number two, 10 toes in Daniel chapter 2, 10 crowns, 10 kings, 10 nations, 10 horns in Daniel chapter 7. All these typically reflect an end time view. Specifically, the final 7 years in Daniel 9:27. That's what we added. During the reign, the final 7 years in Daniel 27. Daniel 7:24, 10 horns or 10 kings. Number four, this is speculation. They will need a very strong leader to unite the nations, probably the Antichrist, reigning during the final 7 years in Daniel 9:27. And this is what we found out about this guy. It's the little horns, dominating, evil, brutal, terrifying, God hater, Christian hater, proclaims himself to be God, and the Lord Jesus will kill him. These are the other things we've learned. Daniel 9:27. He will make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. Daniel 9:27b. For half the week he will break that covenant. Daniel 7:25. They will be given into his hand for a times, half a time, 3.5 years. Revelations 13:5, he was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months, 3.5 years. This is the same guy. God's not creating different people to do the same thing. This is the same guy. Five, speculation. There will be a coalition of nations and may include Europe and North Africa, but not Iran, all right, during the final 7 years of Daniel 9:27. Okay, Daniel 7:7. The ten horns came directly from the fourth beast, the Roman Empire. However, the statue of Daniel in chapter 2 identifies these kingdoms as related but separate from the Roman Empire. Next point, clear reference to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans under Titus in AD 70, before the 70th week. Next point, to the end there will be war. War after the destruction of Jerusalem until the coming of the Antichrist and his reign during the 70th week. All right? Number six, here's the sixth principle. Now this one to me has been the kind of the turning point that kind of flips me from one side to the other. And just personally, Christ, the rock of Daniel chapter 2, personally will judge these nations at his second coming and establish his kingdom. He's coming back. Amen. Jesus' first advent, this is what we found out here. Jesus' first advent and crucifixion occur after the 69 weeks or 483 years, but before the final 7 years. The 69 weeks, okay? And it says that the anointed one will be cut off and have nothing. So we know that the crucifixion happens after the 483 years. Revelations 19:11 through 16. Jesus will strike down the nations at the end of the final 7 years. When's Jesus coming? We know when he's coming back. We just don't know when the final 7 years are. But when they happen, he's coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, Jesus will kill the little horn at the end of the final 7 years. Daniel 9:27c, a decreed end is poured out on the desolator, meaning the Antichrist. A decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Daniel 7:13, 14, Christ's never-ending kingdom will be established. Amen? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And just as a key point, whatever your view, Daniel nailed it on every historical point. He nailed it. All right? So he's nailed it here. We just hadn't figured it out totally. He's nailed it right here. Now, I want to give you some memory points. I understand what came your way. All right? You know, let me give you a drink. And they throw you into Niagara Falls. You know, no, I understand what came. But here's some memory points. I'm up here. And this will help as you look at it. So you want to look at this and understand, what did we just go through in chapter 9? Memory points, 70 weeks or 490 years. That's the issue, okay? Second memory point, all right? 69 weeks or 483 years, first advent of Jesus, all right? That's important, okay? We can grab a hold of that. Third point, there is a valley, and this is where the questions come up. There is a valley between the 69th mountaintop and the 70th mountaintop, the time of the Holy Spirit, where the fulfillment of all of God's prophecies take place for his called out people. All right? Fourth point, the last week, the 7 years, is the Antichrist. This is the time of the 10 toes of Daniel, the 10 horns of Daniel 7. Jesus returns to destroy the Antichrist and set up his earthly kingdom. I mean, that's, you probably, somebody said, why didn't you just tell us in that first place? And he just said that and, you know, and sent me the notes later and we could have donuts with people, you know. So that gives you a piece of it. Now, we're not through. Next week is really important. I mean, really important because it speaks to us right now specifically. But as we look at this, God wants us to know. Why does he want us to know? I think it's like, okay, no, be in awe. You know, I'm powerful. I'm moving. I got my arms around this. I've got this. I crossed every T. I dotted every I historically. Therefore, I've crossed every T and dotted every I in the future. No, I'm in control. Have peace with that. Even though you can't figure it all out, have peace and just come before me and I will show you what you need to know. All right? But I'm also with you. In your life, I've crossed every T and I've dotted every I in your life. All right? Hang in there. Hang in there. And this is where Jesus, where he told his, and this is what Jesus had this down, all right? I mean, here's Jesus. He's back to go. He's ready to go back up to heaven in Matthew 28:18. He's going back up to heaven. And, you know, and Jesus going, he didn't say, hey, guys, I just want you to know I just fulfilled, you know, Daniel 9. You know, how you think I did? You know, give me a hand or something. I mean, but he did. He knew full well what Daniel was about his first advent, his ministry, and his crucifixion. He knew about the resurrection. And now he's called his men together and women together. And here's what he says. This is his last statement to him. Here's the last statement of Jesus. So again, we should pay attention because this is coming. And by the way, I think the point of it, all hell is going to break loose. All hell is going to break loose. And Jesus said that. We'll see that too. Jesus said, by the way, all hell is going to break loose. But here's what he says. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Hey, it's been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. I'm with you till the 7 years come until I take out the Antichrist. Okay? I'm with you till then. And by the way, when I come in, I'm going to finish the job. But until then, Till then, you're my people. You're my people. Till then, you are the apple of my eye. Till then, you are the Israel of God. Till then, you are my Jews. And then we're going to look at a verse that actually says that. You are my Jewish people. You are the apple of my eye. It's you from now on. It's from now on for all people. And he gave us such a great message, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You know, we could even interject it. Now, this would be inappropriate, but I'll do it anyway. God so loved the world. I don't want my folks to go through the hell that's coming. I don't want you to go through the hell that's coming. I love you so much. I don't want you to go through the hell that's coming. Okay? And I'm giving you a way out. Now, that's a little superficial way of looking at it, but that's what he's saying. God so loved the world. Oh, my God, I don't want you to go through this. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Amen. I think that's worth praising God over. Why don't we just come up here and sing praises to him and stand up. And as we think about this, when we look at this, and this can kind of have a heaviness. You know, you think, oh my God. But what God is saying, this is what's happening. But when he looks at us, you know what he's saying to us? This is the important thing when he's saying to us. No, you're my people. I pulled you out of this. No, you're the ones I reached down and pulled out of this. I got you. We should be, hallelujah. I mean, we should be horrified and think, oh man, I better tell my neighbor. I mean, oh Lord Jesus, you know, because they ain't pulled out of it. But on the same thing, we should be rejoicing. He reached down and gave his son, though he could pull us out. He loved us that much. I don't want you to go through that. I mean, it's like us. Look, I don't want you to go through that. And hell's going to be worse. I don't want you. I love you so much. I pulled you out of that. And he is. By the way, that good news, tell folks. I pulled them out of this. It's going to be bad, but I pulled them out of this.